Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Yeah, if you're listening to the programme yesterday, you will know that this week is AI week here on the show. And each day at this time, we are going to deep dive into the world of artificial intelligence. We just want to kind of explore how AI is and will shape our lives, whether it's from the app on your phone to the way we work or interact with people across the globe. Jess Kelly, our tech correspondent, was with us yesterday talking about the pros and cons of AI and even how we already use it throughout our daily lives. You know, when you pick up your phone or your iPhone, and of course the facial recognition allows you to open it. I mean, we're all using Google Maps at this stage for years. So it's here, but we want to see how we can best use it and what are the concerns. So I suppose really one of the most striking examples of the capabilities of artificial intelligence can be found in the music sector. So whether you want to hear pop stars covering songs like Britney Spears here singing Michael Jackson. Sounds odd though, doesn't it? Yeah. Or maybe it's even like, you know, deceased star like Queen's Freddie Mercury, you know, come back from the dead to sing Celine Dion. We're talking today about the impact of AI on the music industry. And joining us today is the CEO of First Music Contact, Angela Dorgan, because they're involved in the development and resource organisation of the music sector in Ireland. And also to Adam O'Regan, who's a guitarist with Soda Blonde. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. You know, Angela, just like the Britney and the Freddie Mercury covers and the clips, it is remarkable, I suppose, first of all, you know, when you hear what AI can do.
Yeah, they're awful though.
Yeah.
You can
the Britney Mercury one, it's not as bad. The Britney one now is...
I would be the opposite. I think
really?
That just sounds like Celine with a cold.
Yeah.
I think it's I suppose Adam and I were talking outside, and it's really the difference between AI and wonderful artists is that there's a human.
Yeah.
And I think you can hear that. I suppose the challenge is... You know, there are tons of challenges for us. There are tons of positives and negatives about AI. And I suppose, you know, as in relation to your clip, the bay doors are already opened, Hal. You know, AI has been around for a while. That's how we get our algorithms. That's how Meta and X and everybody else can market to us. Those are all instruments of AI. From our point of view, and our job is to help artists develop careers, it's about the threat of AI to existing and future careers of Irish and global artists, and it's about the danger of the space in the market that AI generated music will take up, that, you know, should be for artists making a living. It's also about once again the music industry dropping the ball when it comes to protecting artists in this realm as well.
Okay.
You know, so from our point of view, there are pluses, and Adam can talk to this as an artist himself just, about the pluses for artists.
Yeah. So like as somebody who's a performer and involved in the industry, just first of all, I suppose, Adam, what do you see as the pros of AI, and where do we see it first of all?
Well, it's obviously this massive, massive, super powerful technology, you know, and, you know, like since the beginning of recorded music, almost every decade, there's been some new technological innovation. And as a creative, I suppose, you know, I'm always looking for a new way to kind of help the art that I'm making. And so, you know, there's been certainly ways where one thing I like to do is if I've written some lyrics, it's interesting to go feed the lyrics into the thing and say, analyze these lyrics, and you can see pretty clearly whether the point that you're trying to get across is airtight enough or is being conveyed in the right way. Small specific example of, you know, one way that can be helpful. But generally I'd like, maybe I'm being overtly optimistic, but I'm hesitant to believe that there's an appetite for any, I mean, and that's a bit of a gimmick listening to Freddie Mercury sing that song, but I can't really see how that would really, people really want to hear that properly.
Well, just on that, actually, you know, some of the Oasis-esque songs, there's an interesting one, actually, you know, with Liam Gallagher type, and it was the UK indie band Breezer. They did it last year. Just take a listen to this. Sound like Oasis?
I mean, that's, I don't know. I think it's, and this is where I agree with Adam, in the area of, I don't think lots of us are fooled, as audiences are fooled by what's generated. I think Breezer probably did that for a gimmick, and you know,
and we're talking about it.
Yeah, but also I suppose a lot of British bands want Oasis to stop quarrelling and come back, so I think they're poking the bear in any way they can. I think Adam's point is a good one, and I think we see artists using AI for so many things that it does it does save hours and hours in your creative day. So you know, you can ask it, use AI to write a press release. You can use AI, say if you're doing a tour in the States, and you can say generate a list of Seattle talk, you know, music radio, indie radio for me. And, you know, it does all of those really hard to do tasks, and also the tasks that would have in the old industry been someone with a black book and you'd have to like be signed to them or something to access those people.
Okay.
So there is a huge democratization. Where my fear comes in is how much AI music is clogging up the portals that artists, that real artists use to generate income. So AI being played on radio means an Irish act doesn't get played on radio. AI being on Spotify playlists drops emerging artists in that key stage out of it. So that's where I feel like the industry are maybe letting, and there's something concrete. So a Spotify or a Deezer could, you know, if they say they're for artists, could say, we're going to stop playlisting AI generated music, or we're going to free up some space on our listenership.
What are you concerned about, Adam?
Well, it's really two conversations, I think, because there's, you know, myself and my brothers are have this debate kind of in our messenger group chat quite often about, you know, the ramifications of AI in general. And I think AI, we can all recognize there's a potential negative outcome and there's positive outcomes, but I think it's when it comes to the realm of like of emulating human voice or taking the place of creativity on whole. There was there's obviously this these song generators that have just kind of been released in the last kind of couple of weeks, and I was playing with one the other day just to see the capabilities of it. And you type in essentially a verse of lyrics, or you can just type in write me a song about, I have a friend Tom, he owns a diamonds shop, a jeweler. In Paris Court, I said, write a song about my friend Tom, who's a jeweler. He's always looking for love or whatever, and write it in the style of 80s power pop. And it gave me three examples in about a minute, and they were really good.
Really?
They were good insofar as you might expect it to be very rudimentary, very basic ABC type of music, but they were very interesting. It wrote the lyrics, it wrote the musical arrangement, it recorded it essentially as a human voice. The song was called Diamonds in the Rough. And what's terrifying about that is like, okay, it's actually good. And, you know, you can't see a world where people are lazy. They want a shortcut to, you know, to create.
We're all busy.
And especially at the top of the industry, when all they really care about is the commerce of it, the money, you know, and they don't put the value of the art first. You know, you can't. It's hard to unsee a world where that will dominate in some shape or form, you know.
Ruth Ann is a Grammy nominated singer, songwriter, and producer. Ruth Ann is with us here too on the line, Angela and Adam. Are you working with an AI company at the moment, Ruth Ann? Have I that right?
I'm working on it with an AI company as far as ethical AI, which is trying to make sure that the singers behind these vocal packs you can get are actually getting paid and compensated. Right. So it's more about trying to find ethical ways for AI to be used, because it is being used. I've gone to sessions plenty of times where, you know, in 2 seconds they can change my voice to sound like anyone. They can change me to sound like a man, and they're very, very well. I mean, it sounds like a real person. And so the main thing is protecting, how do we protect singers? How do we protect people from being able to make and make sure that we can all make revenue from these AI companies, because the robots are going to be trained using voices, real songs. So there's a copyright issue as well of how these robots are being trained. And that's really important for everybody to know, is that there is going to be copyright issues with AI. And that's something that is already being discussed and looked into right now.
So how do you get the balance on that right then?
And it's going to be hard to, because as we see with streaming, when streaming first came in, it was kind of a free for all. And in some ways, it still is a free-for-all, and there's certain legislations and certain things you can do. But there is going to be an element of, there's always going to be some sites that, you know, people are going to be able to use. But I think it's about getting on top of it and not being behind it. That's why I'm working with this company to try and make something ethical where singers are actually making money from it. And I think it's about accepting that it is coming in, but it's how we handle it and what parameters and boundaries and legislations we put in place to protect real human beings from what they're doing. But I will say as well, like a lot of the people I talk to in the industry, there's a lack of soul in AI and personality. You can never replace the feeling of a live band. You can never replace the feeling of soul and emotion. So there is going to be always a certain limit that it can take us to. But people are still going to always want that live soul, you know, from humans. And I don't think AI will ever be able to replace what a live singer can do on stage to you, you know what I mean, versus an AI robot. See, and I believe that the soul will never be able to be replaced by a robot.
Yeah, you see, the covering artist is sort of, you know, like through AI is one thing, but where it's sort of creating original music or original lyrics is a totally different thing though, isn't it?
Well, I think,
Ruthie,
I think you bring up the right point insofar as what's at jeopardy really more than anything else is soul, you know, and I think that I kind of think that in the human voice, and myself and Angela were talking about this briefly beforehand, is the one thing I think, you know, as a way forward at all this, the human voice is almost something that should be off the table in terms of being replicated by AI. I think there should be one unanimous voice. It should be the voice of HAL 9000 from 2001 A Space Odyssey, and that should be the voice of AI. And there should, I think, I can't see why replicate anyone else's voice. I just don't understand what the purpose of it.
The purpose of it a lot of the time is to, when you're writing music, you might be in a room where there's no singer. And a lot of the time, I know from just sessions that I've been in, if a singer isn't there, like I'm not there, and a producer can't sing, the reason why they're replicating, why they need them voices, is because sometimes to sell the song, to get the song across to a Rihanna, Beyonce, they need to make it sound that good. So a lot of the time, real human singers, like demo singing used to be
just
a job,
like
right?
Vocals,
so you'd get paid.
Yeah,
so you'd get paid, right? But now a lot of the time I'm in the session, I don't get paid to do the demo, but I have to sell the song. So my voice has to sell it to the artist listening and going, or the DJ going, oh my God, I want that song. And where AI vocals are being used right now is in a lot of the demo process. It's the demo.
It's another job, is it?
To the artist. Yeah, it isn't. I mean, and I do it for free. A lot of the time, songwriters do these demos now for free. But back in the day, there was singers paid. So we've already lost a job from back in the day. That job is gone. Like Katy Perry started her career being a session singer and session musicians. And that's the first danger of AI. And it's already happening, is that you won't need to bring in a guitarist, you won't need to bring in a singer, because AI will be able to do all that for you. But it's very difficult to stop that from happening. That's already massively happening.
Just finally, do you feel we'll see something similar to the writer's strike on this, Angela, you know, in the US? Or will, like, is that the next level? Is that where it goes to?
I'm not sure. I think Ruthann makes a great couple of points there. And one of them, I suppose, is protecting the artist and protecting the songwriter. And she is right. There are plenty more tools that AI can give an artist for their toolbox, but it's about how to protect the artist and the jobs in existence. I suppose one of the things, what AI does is if you ask it to do something, it sweeps the internet for that thing. Mm. So I think the industry missed a jump about 7 years ago.
Trying to catch up.
Well, yes, but I think the solution was maybe there about 7 or 8 years ago, blockchain. So that if collection societies and stuff had switched over to blockchain back then, it would be far easier to, you know, pick the piece of music that the AI generated to create a song and give it to the original songwriter and give them their then royalties.
We actually have a song. A listener has sent it into us, John, here on WhatsApp and voice note, and we might actually talk about this again a little bit later in the show. But for the moment, Angela Dorgan, who's the CEO of First Music Contact, Adam O'Regan, guitarist with Soda Blonde, and musician Ruthann, thank you all very much for joining us here on the programme today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.